Hey, welcome to the podcast. I want to do a quick intro to the short story that's coming up. But before I do that, thank you for all the comments and suggestions. I have since ripped out the music of the main story, which is a lot better. But if you want to leave a comment, you can do that right on the main page there in Spotify. You can send me a message on Instagram. What you thought of the episodes. This is kind of a continuation of the last episode. I named it different. I didn't say it was part two. This one's called Eagle Eye. And somebody had asked me a number of weeks ago, hey, how do you focus better? I'm trying to get a critical task done, and how do I focus without my brain dragging me all over the place? And they had asked me, how did you do that in the military and certain things you were doing? And I'd think about it quite a bit. And I'd written down four ways that I had used to help focus on the thing I was doing, whatever that was, and really hone in and have that eagle vision, kind of the, if you can imagine this eagle up there looking down at the river and focused in on the fish he's going to grab. That's kind of what I think about when I think about this title. And I think you'll enjoy the story and the lessons that you can apply to your life, because it helped me get through this military course that I was going through that I had already kind of failed at and had one more chance to make it through. Hope you enjoy. So I arrived in Yuma, Arizona on the weekend, midday, and it was hot. Sticky. And if any of you have ever been to Yuma, Arizona, not much of a town. Well, this is where they hold a lot of the air training, specifically free fall training, specifically free fall jump master school. And that's what I was there for. Now, this is kind of one of the schools as you learn how to jump out of the airplanes. Well, you not only learn how to jump out, but learn how to lead other people jumping out of the airplane. And that means inspecting their parachute, spotting where you're going to jump in the airplane, and all those things. At the time, and it's probably different now, but at the time I believe it was a 3 or 4 week course. And it's a course led by other special operations personnel, and it's a gentleman's course, but there's a lot of pressure in passing some of the tests in there. And I was there to go through the course to bring that skill back to the SEAL team and to be able to be a free fall jump master if we needed it. Anyway, so I arrive in Yuma, ready for the 4 week course. And as I said, driving through Yuma, it's a forgettable place. I don't think I would ever choose to live in Yuma, Arizona, but the base that we were going to, where all the military operations happens, you got to drive through the town and then go out to the base. Anyway, this course, like I said, is run by other special operations personnel and from the Air Force, from the Marine Corps, from the Navy, and from the Army. And same as the instructors there, people going through the course are coming in from all different military branches. And we had a class, I believe, of about 15 people. And all of us that are coming in there were experienced guys, meaning we've already gone through multiple special operation courses, static line jump master course, free fall. Some of them are snipers, comms guys. Like myself, I was a corpsman. And so everybody comes with a skill set and probably have done a couple of deployments, if not more, already. And at the time I went through, this is just how it was run. I said they probably made it a lot better now. Anyway, so in the course you have a set of tests that you have to complete. And part of those tests are on the ground before you get in the airplane. And then in the airplane, there's a bunch of tests that you have to do, and you have to pass these tests, and you only have a certain amount of time to pass it and certain number of tries. And of course, you don't want to fail, right? You're sent there by your team expecting to pass, and you don't want to fail and come back to the team because it's kind of a wasted spot. And so you're really focused on passing these tests. Now, the tests are timed. They're also, there's quite a bit of pressure in there, and I think that's a good thing, right? You should be able to do these things under pressure. And the ground part of the testing is you're learning all about checking somebody else's parachute before they get into the aircraft, and you're there's a whole series you go through, and I figured out I forget how long it takes to go through this series, but imagine you have a fellow jumper and you're the jump master, and you need to check all of these things from the helmet all the way down to the feet. And being able to find discrepancies and issues with not only the parachute, but potentially something they're wearing. Something's going to prevent them from jumping or possibly tangle up with a parachute. And in the test, they actually put things in there that are incorrect in the parachute. Some major things you can obviously see right away, and some really minor things that... because it's a timed test when you finally do it in front of the instructors that you may just miss. And so you got to be really focused, right? And so you spend a lot of time learning about all the things that you need to check with somebody. And it's not just, one person. You have to check what's called a slick jumper, which is just somebody, just a parachute, basic uniform. And they're just doing kind of a Hollywood, what we call a Hollywood jump. They got no equipment, any of that. And so that's one check. And you have a certain amount of time to go through that person. Then the second one is combat equipment. And so they would have a weapon. They would have a rucksack in there. They'd be jumping with this gear. And so there's a bunch of other steps you'd have to go through and check. And that is timed as well. And then the third one is with an oxygen mask on, high altitude jumper. So they're going above a certain altitude, so they have to wear oxygen. And so there's a bunch of other things you have to check with that. And so that's kind of the first week and a half or so. They're teaching you all those things that you need to check, the reason why you need to check them, and what do you do if you find something wrong with either the equipment or some piece of gear that's not clipped in right. Cause you miss one of those things. It could be fatal to that jumper, and they're depending on you to check that. You don't just check each other and give yourself a thumbs up and hop in the plane and jump out. Right. There's a whole procedure, and it's really important. Everybody goes through the test, and you can go through it twice. And if you fail twice, you're out. You head back to the team and you failed. And so I go in there for my first test, and I go through the slick jumper, the Hollywood jumper, no problem. I move through the combat equipment jumper pretty quickly. That seems to be going well. And then I get to the high altitude jumper with the oxygen mask on and all of that stuff. And I get through that, and I found, so when you find a mistake, you have to call it out. And I remember calling out some of the things that I see that were wrong. And I'm like, that's incorrect. And they don't say anything. They just write it down, and they kind of have on their list what I'm supposed to catch. And you can't, there's certain things you cannot miss, right? Certain things that are critical to the jumper, they're just going to die. And I made it through the last person. And after the last person, I still had like 10 seconds left. And I was like, you know what? I feel I'm good. And I said, I'm done. They stopped the timer. And immediately they said fail. And I was like, what in the hell? If I just immediately failed, that means I missed a critical item. I didn't see a critical item. And they asked me if I knew what I missed. And of course, I said, no, I don't know what I missed. And the instructor walked up to the high altitude jumper, opened up his mask, And there's a procedure where when you're checking, you have to open up the mask, you run your finger on the inside, see if there's any debris. I had done that, put my finger in there and around the inside of the mask, didn't feel anything. Well, that rubber part of the inside of the mask, just a little bit deeper in, they had put a rubber band in there. And who knows if that would have been fatal or whatever, but I missed it. And I kind of thought in my head, like, oh, are you serious? Like, they put a rubber band in there? Like, that's kind of feels like the inside of a mask. Like, they're just like, well, you should have visually inspected. Yes, you feel for debris in there, but also visually inspect it, and you failed to visually inspect it, so you fail. And that's just what it is, right? There's no, you're just done. And that's your first round. So a week and a half in, I have to go stand with the guys that failed, which none of us in the special operations community, we want to fail anything, right? And so we're feeling bad about ourselves, and we have to retest later on that afternoon. And I remember getting really stressed about it. And it just like, oh no, you know, if I could miss something that small, like a rubber band in there, I might miss something again. There's 50 other things. And now they already know that I failed. And gosh, are they gonna sneak something else in there? Does one of the guys not like me? Does, you know, who knows? There's a whole number of things that's going through my brain. It's kind of stressing me out. And we have about 3 hours to, for those that didn't pass the first time, to go back to the mannequins where all the gear is set up and go through your test. And then you have somebody like, hey, time me, watch for mistakes, and I'll call them out. And so you go through that. And I remember I was just, man, with all these things going in my brain, I was missing basic stuff as I was practicing myself. And the partner that I was with, he's just kind of like, no, you missed that. No, you missed that. And I was doing really bad. I mean, to the point where he's looking at me like, dude, you're totally going to fail. And I knew at that moment, like, I knew all the material, I knew what I needed to do. But my brain was just kind of had that open floodgates to what could happen and what did ha already happen. And it was just affecting my performance in a really bad way. So I remember sitting down, kind of having some quiet time before my second test. And I kind of ran myself through kind of a mental checklist. And as I remember this story, this mental checklist was kind of critical, not only to eventually passing this test, which I did, but other things in life that I think will really help you out, and it helped me out tremendously. And being able to get hyper focused and having that kind of eagle vision on the task at hand and completing it and doing well and being successful at it. Because man, our brains can sabotage us along the way. And it was sabotaging me. I was absolutely failing. Just not even before I got into the test. And it was really my brain all jumbled up. So I did go back into the test using kind of this mental checklist that I had written down. And I'll share that with you after the story. But I went back in there and boom, knocked that test out and passed. And they even did put the rubber band back in the mask, found a couple other things. And cleared it with zero mistakes, 100%. And the instructor, I remember him kind of looking at me going, well, God, why did you pass that in the first place? Like, come on, let's go. Everybody did a passing, and the course was a success. But let me go through that mental checklist with you, because what happened to me there, I know has happened to you in your life, whether or not you're in the military. There's been times where you can't really focus on the thing that needs to happen, and you got to get it done, and our brain sometimes steps in and really can screw everything up. Anxiety can set in, and it can really kind of set you back. So use these tips to help you, because they will. First thing is, stop time traveling. And you're like, wait, what is that? What does that mean? So your brain, you gotta prevent your brain. It's literally telling your brain and kind of compartmentalizing the things in the future. Okay, time traveling. Your brain loves to go to the future and grab all the bad, negative things that could happen if what you're doing, you fail at it, you're not able to do it, you're not able to complete it, right? Hey, you're going to fail on a test. Hey, you're going to let down your girlfriend, your spouse, your family, your coworkers, your boss. If this doesn't get done well, or it just doesn't get done at all, or whatever. Your brain loves to go into the future and just ruin your present moment, which with future things that possibly and most likely aren't going to happen. And you mentally have to sit down and go, okay, let's get that out of my brain as best I can and stop future time traveling. Same thing goes for time traveling backwards, okay? For me, right, I had already failed. And so where was my brain? It wasn't only going to the future and grabbing all the things that could go wrong in the future. It was bringing up the past. For me at that time, it was, well, you just failed. You're probably going to fail again, right? Your brain could be your worst enemy, I swear. And so verbally sitting down and just telling your brain, nope, what happened has happened. There's nothing I can do about it. And I can't change anything. All you can affect is your present moment. And so those two things together really are just trying to stay in the moment and present with what you can, with what you can change, right? You can't change anything about what's going to go on in the future. What happened in the past is done, and focus on that. So those two things right away is stop your brain from time traveling. And if that means just sitting down quietly for a little bit and focusing in on the time, the present thing that you're working on, that really helps. Doesn't mean it doesn't creep back in a little bit, but just know that you can't change what's happened in the past, and your brain loves to go into the future and bring back all sorts of just crazy stuff that probably is never going to happen anyway to make that anxiety rise up. Okay? So try to stay in the present moment as best you can. And as things happen in the present moment, you just make a little adjustments and move forward. So in that second test that I was in, yeah, sure, things happened that I didn't want to happen, but I just adjusted and moved forward. Don't go, oh man, gee whiz, I got that thing wrong. And just, you know, it screws up the rest of whatever you're doing. It's just, hey, got it, move forward. And that's really going to help you because, yeah, you're going to make mistakes. But if you dwell on them and it just affects your present performance. So that's a big one, you know, to have a complete focus. And I don't know if it's always complete focus. I don't think it's some kind of Zen master or something like that. But it really helps you out to know that your brain does that. It immediately thinks up 15 negative things that could happen to you or happen to somebody or whatever, right? Start thinking in the present moment and think positive too, right? That helps. Hey, I can do this. I've studied. I put the work in. And it's just up to me to complete the task. And if something goes a little bit wrong during this journey or whatever you're working on, not a big deal. Respond to it as it happens and adjust and move forward. All right? So there it is. Hope those things helped you. See ya.